Today on Family Talk.
It seems that nearly every week, a newsworthy story pops up about how the family is under attack in America. But what can we do about it? And what are the implications for our country if we do nothing? Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to hear a powerful sermon by Dr. Ed Young, titled, Destroying the Family. My dad was recently listening to Dr. Young's program and found this sermon to be especially moving. As you know, Family Talk exists to preserve and promote the institution of the family and the biblical principles upon which it's based. And this message fits perfectly with what we're trying to accomplish. But before we get into our program today, let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Dr. Ed Young. He is the senior pastor of Second Baptist Church of Houston, Texas, and a best-selling author and the voice behind the nationally syndicated radio and TV program, The Winning Walk. And for those that won't be able to stay with us throughout today's program, I do want to tell you that there couldn't be a better time to join the ministry of Family Talk through your financial support. Thanks to the offer of a matching donation from one of our friends, every gift we receive this month, up to a total of $200,000, will be matched dollar for dollar. That means that today, your donation can make a real difference in the lives of twice as many families. And to say thank you for your gift, this month, we will send you my dad's latest book, Your Legacy, and its corresponding DVD from our brand new series, Building a Family Legacy. To join the mission of Family Talk and impact twice as many families today, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Here now is Dr. Ed Young on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
On CBS, the regular programming was interrupted because a dramatic story came out of the Red Gulch River Canyon in Kentucky. A man had gone to sleep in a hammock, middle of the day. He was camping out with three other friends from Ohio, and he slept for about an hour, and when he awakened, he was sleepwalking, and he walked over, after a period of stumbling around, he walked over a 60-foot cliff. Now, you don't live from that fall. But he was saved by a tree that was growing out of the side of the mountain, knocked unconscious. His friends now call for help. 3 hours for the rescuers to get there, an hour to rappel down to where he was in the tree, an hour to put in a basket and bring him back to safety. And as he was coming back to safety, he said to his rescuers, "You'll never have to come and rescue me again because I'll never put myself in this position for this to happen again." Now, we've all said that, haven't we? We've fallen. We said, you know, "I'll never put myself back in a position for this to happen again." Now, that dramatic story has many, many interesting aspects to it, does it not? What were those friends doing? They saw him staggering around, went over a period of time. Didn't one of them say, "Hey, Ryan, hey, buddy, be careful." Does that work? How many times have we seen people, friends, family, relatives, even close people, and we see they're walking over a cliff with their lifestyle, with what they're doing, and we don't say, "Hey, wait, no, we say, no, I don't want to get involved. You know, I don't want to be out of, you know, seem like I don't understand. I don't want to seem like I'm bigoted. I don't seem like I'm prejudiced. I don't seem like, you know," we just let them and we see them go over the side of the cliff. The guy went over the side of the cliff who was saved by that little tree. He said, you know, he thought when he hit the ground, he'd be dead. He was amazed, clean on that tree, now conscious. Can you imagine why the rescuers came? This is the culture in which we live, ladies and gentlemen. The tectonic plates, when they move, those tectonic plates under the earth, when they move, earthquakes happen. seismic events happen. Check me out, but you'll see that literally dozens and dozens of earthquakes happens every day around the world. Did you know that? All different degrees. Every day, check it out. Somebody showed me that, I was astounded. In the day and age in which we live, all these basics upon which we have stood are being totally rearranged. We live in a new culture. Plato said that a fish who spends all of its life in the water never knows what it means to be wet. If you were born from after 1980, you have one view of culture, and those of us who were born before 1980 have another view. You see, we who were born before 1980 have some semblance of an America, of a world based on biblical principles. We have some semblance of that in our experience and our recollection. But those who are born after that really have no personal relationship with that during the culture as a whole. And therefore, we're the last generation who can point to a day and a moment when God's words and God's principles were honored and understood. They formed and were the background and the basis of all of our documents, the Constitution, the bylaws, and how we function as a nation. Some of us have come up in some sort of that. Beginning with the 60s, with those violent days of turning everything that was right upside down, you have this continuing on today, so we're like Aristotle's fish. Those in that generation, this newer generation. You don't know what it means to be wet because you spent your whole life wet in the water. If you were Satan and you wanted to bring down a life, if you wanted to bring down a culture, if you wanted to destroy a nation, destroy a people, destroy humanity, what would be the central place you'd attack if you were Satan? I think without question it would be the home, the family. It's the first institution God gave to us. It is out of the family you have the church, first church. It is out of the family you have healing and led to the hospitals. It is out of the family you led to the government where the father has that authority. All forms of government flow from the family. Every major institution in every culture all comes from marriage and the family. So Satan knows if somehow I can destroy marriage. Hey, that will be the best way I can destroy a life, destroy a nation, destroy a world. So that's the point of his attack. And look at some of the weapons that he uses. Hedonism. See, we're so caught up in recreation and pleasure, and for most people, tragically, the ultimate thing is sexual release, sexual pleasure, and that is hedonism. We're in a culture that is consumed with a quest for good times. Let's have a party. Let's go here. Let's do that. Let's celebrate. Boy, let's do hedonism. Bring it down marriage. Adultery. Oh, yeah. Well, I understand that. You're supposed to be faithful to your wife, your bride. I can send you to a lot of psychotherapists in this very area. They will tell you if your marriage is a little flat, what you need to do is to bring in a third party. It'll save your marriage. It'll give excitement to that relationship. So adultery more and more is being accepted. Oh, living together. Oh, no big deal. I mean, you know, fornication, adultery. Divorce. No fault divorce. Where did that come from? Ronald Reagan was governor of California. He signed into law. Later on, about 20 years later, He said it was one of the worst things I've ever done because he saw what had happened to the institution of marriage with an easy way out, with no-fault divorce. He regretted that decision. Destruction of the marriage, destruction of the home. Abortion. You say, well, I get the first three, but how does abortion affect this? Listen, abortion affects it because of the woman's right to choose. The man is out of it. He's extraneous. And this is the whole function of the state to get the man out of the home and out of the family. And now the woman can choose whether that life will be killed in her womb or not. And the man is not even a factor. Has no choice. Your word is extraneous. You have no responsibility that you want. You're out of it. So abortion breaks down the basic institution of the home, the family. And these are big things in our culture, are they not? And they're all pointed by the evil one to destroy marriage. But let me tell you, the biggest one of all is one that I never would have figured out. Those four are deadly enough, but this fourth one is, it's beyond anything that you would think would ever be proposed to destroy a marriage. You know what that is? That's the redefinition of marriage. Ooh, I mean, marriage has been one man, one woman. Marriage has been that way, the dominant understanding throughout cultures for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Every culture, every continent, thousands of years. That has been the definition of marriage. Now, there have been other relationships, all kind of other sexual involvements, but marriage was defined like that since the dawn of history. Do you think that you could stand your own ground in a debate on this question? You say, man, most of us would say, I don't recognize same-sex marriage. I think it's wrong. I wouldn't vote for it. No, I'm not for that. And I think I could defend man-to-woman marriage. Well, let's just see. Let's just check that out, would you? You go to a TV talk show, there you are. Sit down at the table, you debated a lesbian woman. She's attractive, winsome, normal as you could see anybody in appearance. The moderator turns to her and said, state your case. She said, I was brought up in a broken home. She said, but I went to work at an early age and worked my way through college. And she said, then I worked my way through graduate school. And she said, then I went and joined the military and I fought for America and laid my life on the line for this country. And she said, I came back home and I went to work for a company. And through hard work, I've moved my way through that company. She said, now I'm in an executive position. And she said, I have had a companion for 18 years, and we have been monogamous. She said, we love each other. And we get along. And she said, I pay my taxes. I love this nation. And she says, why can't you just let me live out my life and you live out your life? And what does my relationship in any way affect how you live my life? Isn't this a country where we can decide for ourselves? Now, you've got 30 seconds before a commercial to answer her. How are you doing defending traditional marriage? And this isn't the only kind of packaged, perfumed, gift-wrapped situation. Let's look at other selling points that we see how this is used, the strategy used to sell same-sex marriage. First is psychological, very simple. You know, we have freedom, we have independence. You know, I'm not fulfilled unless I move this. There's a psychological argument that's given. It's very rational. There's a medical argument that is given. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Organization, up to that time, they believed that homosexuality was a mental illness. But after 1973, bang, they said it's no longer a mental illness. Not on the basis of any science. No. On the basis of political pressure. And now what was a mental illness going into this meeting, coming out to oppose it, you were bigoted. You're bigoted. Medical. Political. Let's vote on it. Let's the state. By the way, this hadn't worked very good for the gay lesbian lobby, because I think without exception, all the states have voted no, we prefer man for woman, not this new configuration of family. And they have voted usually overwhelmingly, all the states, when it's got in the political realm. That hasn't worked out too well. But the next area, legal, that's where you have real, real progress. Real progress in this area. Educational area, do I have to speak about that? Cultural, the old culture. Our whole environment is permeated. ABC, NBC, CBS has a lesbian talk show host every day of the week, at least all the weekdays. Our culture, we're sold every way. The schools are sold. Most amazing thing of all to me is the theological part of it. You know, when you had the mainline denomination, Episcopalians and Methodists, now evidently Presbyterians, they're taking the Bible. They're saying, oh, the Bible doesn't teach that homosexuality is a sin. And they interpret Sodom and Gomorrah, and they say that was a question of hospitality. Oh, true. And they take the passage in Romans, and other people say, oh, Paul didn't know anything about sexual orientation. As if sexual orientation was a proven, given scientific fact, and it is not. It is not. I personally think that at the right time, in anybody in this room, in the right time, your sexual orientation could have been confused. Everybody in here. I've talked to gays and lesbians for years, members of my family, good friends, friends of friends, people I've known. And by the way, we have hundreds in our church who have come out of that lifestyle by the grace of God. I'm not telling hundreds of them, so don't make no mistake about that. But everyone I have talked to who continued that way or moved out of that way always say, well, I was born like this, but there was this moment. There was somebody, a friend, a neighbor, and somebody who led them into that. It could happen to any one of us here. I firmly believe that. So don't get too pious and too holy. Let me tell you something. So the theological aspect of this is the most amazing thing of all. Most amazing thing of all. Now, we go back and we look at marriage. And we have a definition of marriage. And we got it in Scripture, but what does all that break down? Marriage is a covenant and it's a celebration. It is a covenant between a man and a wife and God. Covenant. He's that third party. It's a covenant also in the sense it is a symbol of the most sacred covenant that you and I have if I'm in Christ and you're in Christ and we're in Christ with God. It is a symbol of that most dynamic personal relationship any individual can know, of that salvation experience. It's also a covenant in that sense, a symbol of it. Also, it's a celebration. It is for pleasure and it's for procreation. It's a celebration of that one flesh, one thought, one intent, and all concerns of this present life. Leave, cleave, one flesh, no shame, beauty of it. So it's a covenant, a celebration, a two-part covenant, a two-part celebration. It is for pleasure and for procreation. You know, I just can't get over the fact, maybe you're not like I am, that Jobeth and I came together in love, and God allowed us to produce three sons with him who were born in the image of God. Man, that is beyond anything I could ever ask for, or dream of, or expect. That's the miracle of life. And that's the picture we have here. Now, the homosexual lifestyle is not gay and happy and just a wonderful life. There's another aspect to it. On my desk, I have papers stacked about that high over here that talk about the medical ramifications of the homosexual life. Any honest physician who practices in any field will tell you the results of this lifestyle, which the human body God created is not made for. So you say, well, you know, I don't like all this hate speech that you're giving in. I'm not being judgmental. Remember, I am a sinner. We are sinners who are speaking to sinners, and there are heterosexual sinners, big time homosexual sinners, liar, cheats, thieves. No, we're not doing that. That's not where I'm coming from. That's not who we are. But if, let's say, you go to a doctor, the doctor gives you a physical, checks your blood, says there's a little problem here, and so they do a scan, they discover a growth. He said, better biopsy that growth. They take and they biopsy that growth, and it's cancer. And the report is put on the desk of the doctor. He sees all this. He sees the cancer from the biopsy. And you sit there waiting, and he says, you're fine. You're healthy as you can be. All good reports. Go live your life. Boy, thanks, doc. Boy, good news. I'm healthy. Biopsy, no problem. Good news. But you leave, you say, you know, I think I'll get a second opinion. You go to a second doctor, same procedure, same going, and the same diagnosis. Second doctor sees you have cancer. He looks at you and says, you've got cancer. But I've got good news. If you'll proceed with this way and this way and this way, you can be cured. You can be healed. Now, which doctor hated you, really? And which doctor loved you? So when we see people in a lifestyle that's leading over a cliff, what do we do? Say, oh, be careful. I'm not involved. I don't want you to think wrongly of me if I reach out and warn you and try to love you all the way back to safety. Or would hatred be, if you're going to walk off that cliff, just walk on off, partner. I'm not going to get involved. You're not my keeper. I'm not your keeper. Which is hate? Which is love? So I stand here, hopefully as a lover, for those who are proceeding this lifestyle to say, it's not God's pattern. To say, it's a deadly lifestyle. It's a lonely lifestyle. It's a horrific lifestyle, physically, mentally, emotionally, and certainly spiritually. We can't say, well, it's okay. It's all right. No problem. That's hatred. That's not love. You remember Campbell there in the story that happened this past when he walked off the cliff? You remember what saved him? A tree. The same thing that saves you and me, heterosexual, homosexual, is a tree. Jesus Christ died on a cross on that tree so that we might be rescued, so that we might be saved. And that tree saves anybody and everybody who come broken, confessing, repenting, receiving Christ, and asking for his salvation and for his healing.
Oh, what a powerful way to end today's program. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice who died for all of us. But as we celebrated yesterday, he didn't stay dead. He rose again and is risen indeed. We've been enjoying a sermon by Dr. Ed Young from The Winning Walk here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like to help us reach the full $200,000 conditional match, Call today, 877-732-6825, or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. As I mentioned at the top of the program, as a thank you for your donation, we want to get you two powerful resources in your hands to help you build family legacies of faith. For only the next few weeks, we will send you a copy of my dad's new book, Your Legacy, and its DVD from our brand new Building a Family Legacy film series to say thank you for standing with us on behalf of families. Again, you can give by contacting us at 877-732-6825 or on our website, drjamesdobson.org. Coming up next time, best-selling author Anthony DeStefano will share with us how we can find true strength, peace, and happiness in life. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.